I don't think this is going to be a full thing. We're going to start off by talking about you and the new thing.
This is good. And when do you guys? This is the stick up. This is the sharp slap in the head we need to just announce this thing.
Yeah, because when are you announcing?
Well, we were like, oh, we need to do this and that. I was like, okay, now it's going to be on Champ's podcast. That way we're dead.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Business of Video Games podcast with me, your business Sherpa, Sham Sturjani. I am your guide into the dark world of the business side of the video games industry, where we try to make a little more sense of everything that's going on. Frankly, this is mostly a self-help podcast for me to try to make sense of what the heck is happening, because I understand almost nothing. So for today's episode, we're doing something that has been requested by more than one listener, which is to talk a little bit about how to do a GDC show if you're on the business side of things. If you're traveling to one of the big industry shows, such as GDC, which is the Game Developers Conference, for my dad might be listening, this is how you can do it. And the approach that we have for this episode is kind of practical, and it's aimed mostly at indies or mid-sized people who want to up their game and maybe save a dollar or two. If you're Phil Spencer, this episode will not help you. So, again, so maybe it will. Okay. Okay. So, before we get into the interview, and you already heard my guest laugh, I want to thank everyone who listens to the podcast and shares the word about the podcast and hits like or subscribe, or better yet, shares the word about the gospel that is this podcast. If you also then go into God tier mode, you become a patron, which helps me pay my editor, Aaron, to actually make these things sound well. So that's we really appreciate that. And that's about it for the intro. Let's go over to the interview. Hello and welcome back to the podcast, Fernando Rizzo. How are you doing, my friend?
Hello, Shams. I'm doing all right. I'm very happy to be back.
So as you probably know, there's a longstanding competition between, I think it's Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin, to see who hosts SNL the most times. We have a similar thing on the podcast here to see who's been on the most times. Mm. And you are now, this is your second appearance, which is already, you know, a lot of bias and nepotism is happening since you and I are good friends.
Yes.
But I just can't, you know, and I'm in charge of this, I decide. And I decided that I wanted to have you on for this illustrious episode because I know you are, you love pinching those pennies.
I also hate GDC. So.
you hate GDC, exactly. So who else, who better to have on and talk about how to get in and out of San Francisco without hurting yourself or your wallet or your sanity?
Look, it's not my fault I provide such entertaining content, Shams.
whose fault is it then?
No, I'm, who can say, really?
But well, I would say it's the darkness inside you. You do whatever you can. To block it out.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's it. So I have a karmic debt to pay.
But another thing that people don't know is that for some reason I owe you a Wookiee life debt, and keep you know, doing what I can to boost your career.
So I think you and I are even Stevens and have been for a long time. But, you know, I can't.
Quid pro quo, Clarice. Yeah.
Yeah. Never going to say no to being on your podcast yet.
Exactly. Never. So, and last time you were here, we were talking about Raw Fury and one of their releases. And since then, you have left Raw Fury.
I did.
The plot thickens. Could you tell us what are you up to now? Could you plug the thing you're working on?
Well, if you insist, James.
I insist.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to plug. So I'm doing something really exciting, actually. I'm partnered with my friend Alistair Hebson, Ali Hebson, who maybe some folks listening to this show might know. But so Ali and I are doing something together that we're calling Caboodle Games.
Caboodle.
Caboodle Games. And Caboodle is your long tail partner. So if you've already shipped a game, it's already doing pretty well, and you need video game uncles to come help you do business stuff, that's what Kaboodle is all about. So everything from life cycle management to commercial opportunities, partnerships, fixed fee deals with platforms. And the really important stuff is just kind of day to day, week to week optimization on your stores. So there's lots of stuff you can do on Steam to increase your visibility, get you a little more front page time, right? And so that can be stuff like pushing the buttons on the back end to tweak your tags periodically, to negotiating with the folks who are having events that get on the Steam front page. So there's lots of stuff you can do to increase your visibility. And we've got a bunch of really good clients already. We're keeping our eyes peeled for a couple of more. But basically, if you've got shipped games already out there for sale and you're wondering how you can increase the commercial potential and kind of the commercial life expectancy of those games, come talk to us.
Okay. Would you describe yourselves as the A-team of self-publishing or the PMC Wagner of self-publishing?
I mean, we're the S-team. Like, it's S-team. A's. Come on.
A's for suckers. Okay.
Yeah. Anybody.
Okay. Okay, so, but that sounds pretty clear. And then you, and because this people might not know this, but anyone who's followed Paradox knows that long tail is where you make the money. The worst year in any Paradox product is the first year it's released in performance wise. Every subsequent year does more because they have many, you know, bearded uncles like, old Fernando here that does this internally at Paradox. And we'll see this at many other companies as well. If you if you build it and keep building it, they will come.
That's it.
As we know, most very creative indies just want to often move on and work on the next thing. And just being bothered with doing all that self-publishing stuff is a pain in the ass. But that is the ass you love.
That's it. Well, and
you and Ali.
And you put so much time into that game.
Yeah,
and wouldn't it be good if the game worked as hard for you as you did on it all those years?
Yeah, so what's since this is the business podcast and not you know, plugging Kaboodle podcast, what is your business model?
So our business model is, if you're self-publishing, right, you've probably looked at a few publishing deals and said, no thanks. So we're offering a lot of the expertise that a publisher would give you, but we don't come with any of that publisher baggage. And the business model is, you cut us in for a percentage, and usually 10% or less, depending on the client. Cut us in for a percentage of the ongoing business, and we will make at least that. The average Kaboodle client so far has seen, you know, upwards of a 20% increase in month-to-month revenue. So you cut us in for a bit, and we'll take care of all that commercial stuff, right?
And fantastic.
And would the client, whoever they want to be worked with.
And would going to GDC and throwing yourselves at the business wolves be one of those things, for instance?
That's it. That's exactly it. You know, some devs really love doing this stuff. Some devs, you know, they'd rather get waterboarded. So we actually like going to trade shows and talking
and get waterboarded. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, it's
that's that CIA conditioning. You know, it's hard to get out of the system.
You know, take a boy out of Langley, but you can't. Yeah, but no, I am definitely going to spend on this show a fair amount of time talking crap about GDC because it's definitely one of my least favorite shows. I do still. All things being equal, I do still freaking get a rush out of going.
I'm realizing it was an unintended effect of us bashing how terrible GDC is. Inadvertently makes your service you're selling so much stronger. Like, because this is the worst experience in the world. Why would you waterboard yourself? Hire these guys to get waterboarded instead of you.
Fantastic. That's right. We'll do this for you. Good Lord.
Okay, let's I think that's it. So you'll have a website.
Caboodle.games. Caboodle.games. Caboodle.games.
Okay, there you go. What does caboodle mean for us non-Americanos?
Well, it's a British thing, actually.
Is it British?
I've gone native.
Okay, so what's okay? I should have known this then.
You should.
But what's caboodle?
So the whole kit and caboodle is an idiom that means everything imaginable, all of the stuff, everything. Mm. So caboodle is going to do all the commercial stuff for you.
Okay, that's
you
clever.
Focus on making the game. We'll do the kit and caboodle.
Could you tell me some of the rejected alternatives for a studio name that you ended up not choosing?
Not before 9 p.m. They're okay. Just filthy.
So you're like Gizmo. Like don't feed him meat. Right. Don't pour water on him.
That's
okay. Let's move over to the real segment. Okay, Fernando. We've made lists of pointers because how many times have you been to GDC?
It must be like 10, something like that. Yeah,
I think I'm on 11. This will be 12. And you're going there in March?
Yep, I'll be there.
Okay, and I'm unfortunately going to be there as well. Okay, so let's see if our lists match up, having done about 10, 12 years of business development on our separate ends. Do you want to go first or should I?
Let's go. Should we tackle it in the order that you start with travel stuff?
Yeah.
All right, do you want to go first? My first travel tip is, especially if you're coming from Europe, like we are, get there at least a day early. Because your brain it is a big time zone adjustment. And what you don't want to do is walk into your first meeting with your circadian rhythms upside down. You want to give yourself some time to have a nap, go to the gym, whatever it is you do. To get yourself in the time zone, but like don't rock up on the day of your first meeting. Don't do that.
Yeah, and Fernando and I obviously are over 40, so we run a nap based business development strategy. This is a good pointer. It is general for I would say any business traveling. Generally speaking, acclimatize. Okay, that's a good pointer. Can I do my?
Yeah.
My first travel-related pointer regarding GDC to any small or mid-sized company wanting to do business at GDC. My first pointer is don't go. I'm serious.
Oh, man. All right. I'm very sympathetic to this, but let's dig into it. Why should you not go?
So here's the thing. We live in a digital world. after COVID, especially, I think physical attendance at some of these shows is less relevant than it's probably ever been. I think it's very costly, and I think a lot of people just automatically go into, like, of course we're going to GDC, and I don't think that they really ask themselves, should we know? And sometimes when you sit down and make the list of why are we going, because we need to get this business across, or like these three developers, well, would it be better then to just go to Seattle some other time of the year and have four meetings instead? So I really... I think that people should ask themselves if they really need to do that. But there's a second thing before you interject and come up with a good counterpoint.
Tell me.
Early day paradox, do you know what they did? What? They digitally participate in all these events. Couldn't afford to go to E3. But they announced stuff during E3 and put Los Angeles on top of the header of the press release. And it very much looked like they were there. But one thing I will mention, though, is that most companies before GDC are very much like antennas out, ready to have meetings and very receptive. If you like email them and ask for meetings or want to connect, you generally get answers quickly because everyone's in respond to email mode, which means that, and I've seen many do this with me as well, email and say, hey, we're not going to GDC, but can we set something up for early April? And I always go like, geez, that's great. Let's lock that down and I don't have to think about it and we'll go to GDC and have that squared away. So I have many of my good GDC meetings have actually happened after GDC.
That's interesting.
So what's your counterpoint?
I think my counterpoint is there's a reason we're going, right?
What is the reason?
Even though San Francisco is every year becoming more and more of a William Gibson dystopia,
it is.
Everybody's there. Everybody's there, and the density of meetings that you can have, and that sounds like horrifying, doesn't it? Density of meetings, but the density of the for a week every year, the population of Yerba Buena in San Francisco is now almost exclusively people you want to talk to. And that, I think, especially if you're really kind of starting out and you really don't have a lot of industry contacts, I think it can be very valuable to go to GDC or to Gamescom.
Yeah.
I think they're both kind of equally good, really, for that purpose. You can send out 100 invitations and maybe get 20 back and maybe actually have, you know, 16 meetings. That's pretty great. And I think if you're struggling to get people to reply to you, and if you're, you know, you don't, I think the industry can be very tough for people who don't already have their feet in the door.
Absolutely.
And I think the industry can be very dismissive of folks who don't have already established some credibility somehow. And I think GDC helps with that.
Yep. I get it. Okay, cool. Do you have a second kind of travel related pointer for us?
This is maybe not helpful for people who are listening to this podcast now making plans for GDC 2024, but buy your tickets early. Because
but you're right. This pointer applies to GDC 2025.
Yeah. So, if you think you want to go to GDC 2025, buy your plane tickets now.
And hotel.
and now, all right, here's one maybe you'll disagree with. Okay. Buy your plane ticket, buy your hotel, don't buy a conference pass.
Okay. That is actually one of mine, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's do that one. Like, it's called the Game Developers Conference. So it's kind of built into the name where everyone, especially people who are like the people you talked about outside the industry or going there first time, assume, well, of course I'm going to GDC, I should be at the conference.
Yes.
I think this is, unless you are a developer there to talk to other developers about developing games, it is almost entirely useless to buy that pass.
Agreed. Totally agreed. If I haven't actually set foot in the Moscone Center in years.
I have once, but I was a speaker at GDC that year, so I had a pass.
Yeah.
And that was the only reason. Otherwise, if you're there to conduct business, there is no reason to participate in the conference. Is it a good networking venue? Maybe. Everyone's there. You can get hold of them otherwise. But you don't need to spend, what is it, the $2,000, the $1,500 to get a conference pass? No. All that time, the lectures are amazing.
Yes.
But that time should be spent having business meetings and reminder everyone this is the business approach to to GDC. So I 100% agree with that one.
And this might be not obvious to folks who haven't done GDC before who are listening to the show, but the meetings are not happening on the floor of the Moscone Center. The meetings are happening elsewhere. Hotel lobbies, Yerba Buena Gardens, all over the area. But the business meetings, you don't ever have to actually set foot into the Moscone to go to your business meetings.
And this is 100% true for every other trade show. E3's dead now, but of course it's true for E3. It's true for Nordic Game. It's true for Gamescom, Tokyo Game Show. It's true for all of them. Mm. The business meetings happen.
More for Gamescom than the others.
Well, yes and no, because Gamescom has a business section,
yes,
which is dedicated, but getting a pass to the business section, way cheaper.
Way cheaper.
Way cheaper. But still, I would say the adjoining hotel lobbies adjacent to whatever show floor we're talking about, that is where most of the meetings are happening. Okay. Yep. Getting a little off target. Can I share my second hack for traveling?
Absolutely.
Okay. So usually when you fly, you want direct flights and short layovers if you can. This hack is doing the reverse.
What? What is this?
You fly through Seattle.
Okay.
And you have not a 2-hour layover, but a 22-hour layover.
Huh.
Because what happens then is that you leave the airport, you go to the city, you have a couple of meetings there, you stay at a hotel, you go back to SeaTac and grab your flight. So generally speaking, layover tickets are way, way cheaper than any other. And especially the longer the layover. And sometimes you have like 34-hour layovers. And that's the reason why the ticket is so cheap. Put those hours to use. Coming back to my first pointer of like sometimes you, having five meetings in Seattle actually more useful.
Yeah, you can visit Valve. You can visit Nintendo. Yeah. All kinds of devs.
Or any other city where you happen to do a layover. I came to London last time, spent half a day in London before we flew out to whatever the hell in the US we were going, right? So so that's a way to get a cheaper ticket and use your time more effectively.
That's a good hack.
It's a good hack, but it requires stamina. It's a lot of work. What else? Any other pointers? What's your next accommodation, staying? How do you survive?
Yeah, I don't have any more on the travel one, but for accommodation, I interpreted this quite broadly because I'm also I also have a lot of restaurant recommendations here, but because food's important to me, Shams, as you know.
Yeah, I know.
So, all right, hotels. San Francisco, as we've alluded to earlier, San Francisco is rapidly becoming a science fiction dystopia. Staying relatively close to the Moscone, I think, is slightly more important than it was maybe 10 years ago.
Mm.
I think there are areas of San Francisco that are not that far from the Moscone that are I would not recommend people walk around in at night. Definitely not walk around or during the day or by themselves. So I think there's a bunch of hotels that aren't too far away. There's the Zeta. There's the Yotel, you know, hotels that aren't super expensive, but also aren't super far away from the Moscone. I think that's a pretty top tip these days because you might pay a little more staying closer to the Moscone, but it is getting frankly a bit unsafe the further away from the Moscone.
No, it's super scary. Yeah. No, it's basically Running Man down there. my point also kind of tackles this, which is just staying outside the city and motoring in.
Mm.
Rates inside the city are insane.
Yep.
So staying further out and grabbing an Uber or car in and spending the entire day becoming best friends with a hotel lobby and then motoring out after a dinner.
Yep.
It takes a little bit longer, but you stay safer.
And Ubers are still pretty damn cheap.
Yep.
Damn cheap.
No, anything else on the accommodation?
So you don't have to eat every meal in a restaurant if you don't want to. There's the Trader Joe's on the corner of 4th and Market.
Yep.
You get the Trader Joe's the first day. You buy a bunch of, you know, pre-made burritos and stuff. You can have a cheap lunch in between your meetings. You don't necessarily have to do every single one of them in a restaurant. If you're going on a budget, like I definitely was my first few years going, go to Trader Joe's, buy yourself some snacks. There you go.
This is the type of tip that won't help Phil Spencer in any shape or form.
No. Phil has people for this.
But yes, well, 1,900 less of them, but absolutely. Okay, so my second one, which is kind of ties into the second thing, is that a lot of people go to GDC, obviously, to pitch, and they want to demo their game.
Mm.
So the tricky thing is that you want peace and quiet in order to be able to demo your game. Doing it in a dingy hotel lobby floor in the mezzanine somewhere in a corner works. Many a games have been pitched like this, but it is obviously always better if you can get a room. Rooms are super expensive. The best pitches I've had are people who they have to splurge for a room. They might as well splurge for a suite.
Yes.
And they use half of the suite for like a demo space. And the other half, somebody is probably staying in the bed or doubling up in the bed. The trick is to remember to pick up your underwear. So when the chief business development officer from, say, I don't know, Paradox, sits down on the sofa to play your game, he's not, having to pull out old underwear from under his seat.
This seems very specific, Shams.
No, this is completely out of the blue. This was actually generated by ChatGPT. It's not a real world.
Not based on real life. Got it.
Exactly. It actually makes it way more. You can grab the elevator up from the Marriott. People are in your room And in a quiet environment where they're not vying for shouting matches against other people who are trying to pitch stuff. And you get the secrecy and you look kind of competent and smart.
No, but you're right. That is a great tip. Like, I've definitely seen some devs pitch games in their hotel suites, and like they have like snacks and bottles of water, and it seems very, it's not hard to make the front room of a hotel suite look super professional. You're absolutely right. That's a good tip. So yeah, in for a penny, in for a pound, get the suite, use it as your demo space. I think it's a great tip, James.
Okay. What else do you have for me?
Okay. Restaurant recommendations.
Okay, go ahead.
So look, this is more philosophical than business, but it's important. You're in California. You're in California. Eat Mexican food. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Like the quality of the Mexican food in California is an order of magnitude better than the Mexican food you've had wherever you are listening to this podcast, unless it's literally Mexico. So get Mexican food. So there's a hole in the wall taqueria called Taqueria Mana, M-A-N-A, not too far away from Market Street. It's not in a dodgy neighborhood, or at least it wasn't last year. Who knows what'll happen when we get there this year. And it's just, you know, it's not, it has no pretensions. It is a hole in the wall taco place, but oh my God, it's good. I dream about the super burrito from Taqueria Mana all year long. I look forward to it next year. That place is great. And a lot better than the stuff right next to the Moscone, like Trapisueño, which is not good, not good Mexican. So yes, go eat Mexican food. That's my tip.
Okay, I would, if I can just pile on that, you can get a very good bowl of ramen in San Francisco as well.
Also true. Also true.
So if you've got your fill of burritos, super burritos, go for a tonkotsu or something.
Yes.
Or a yakisoba somewhere.
Oh, we should go get ramen this year.
We should. Okay, well, we talked about not getting a conference pass. We talked about that the meetings, and I put it here in my notes, 12 GDCs, 700 meetings, I counted somewhere. 80% of them have been in the lobby of the Marriott Marquis.
Yep.
The remaining 20% in other hotel lobbies.
Yep.
So really avoid the conference itself.
Another great place to have meetings.
Yep.
Weather permitting, is in Yerba Buena.
It is very good. The gardens.
Yeah. If you don't have glare considerations, right? If you don't have a screen that you need people to look at, go to Yerba Buena Gardens. And I can't take credit for this. This is stolen from my friend Thomas Bideau from ICO Partners. Mm. Thomas introduced me to an app called What Three Words. You ever heard of this?
No.
So What Three Words is a geolocation app. And it's basically assigns a set of coordinates to a really precise spot using three kind of random words. So, you know, the words for this spot in Yerba Buena might be, you know, dog, hotel, fish, right?
Okay.
But you have the app, you send the person you're meeting, look, put these three words into What Three Words, and it'll give you the exact spot within, you know, a few yards of Yerba Buena that they're at.
That's meters for us Europeans.
Sure. Exactly. But so get the What Three Words app.
Yeah.
Tell the people you're meeting in Yerba Buena to download it. It's free download. And it saves you a lot of trouble going, I'm waving. Do you see me? I'm waving over here.
Right.
It saves you a lot of that.
Right. So what I do a variant on that, and that's that I just have the biggest eyebrows in the games industry.
That helps.
They spot me like a mile away. The angry man with the big eyebrows. That's what I do.
That's it.
Totally not compensating for anything.
I thought you were a Goomba. No, it's
okay. Exact Goomba. Okay, that's we don't have the trademark for that. Okay, so
sorry, Nintendo.
So my other tip is to keep thinking outside the box, which is most of the stuff. If everyone else is doing it, it's probably not a good thing. It's like any survival tip, any post-apocalyptic scenario. If everyone else is doing it, don't do it. So, and the master of thinking outside the box and doing things your own way is a woman called Hannah Bauer.
Oh yeah.
Okay. She is the master of this, and if you can convince her to work for you a little bit, and she takes money, she will revolutionize your business. Jeanette was forced to think on her feet with zero money at all when she was at Paradox, and then she went over to Raw Fury and did an even better job.
She's incredible. I'm a huge fan of Jeanette.
Yeah, yeah. And she, like, it's harder to do nowadays, but she would be the one that did the whole kind of Devolver thing where, and she would rent a place, an Airbnb place right next to the show, and then set that up as an event space, which cost almost nothing. People could sleep there. You could have parties there, events, and journalists and business people just love going offsite because you get away from the hustle and bustle. You get to sit down with peace and quiet, have a bit to drink and play some games. And she managed to make some really nice venues work for not so many dollars. And it's been very effective for Paradox and Raw Fury and many other companies.
She's still doing it. She's amazing. So Raw Fury won't be at the space that Jeanette's been using for the last few years, just because that part of town is getting too sketchy to walk to. But you're absolutely right. Like,
so
if you have the resources, you should do exactly that. Get an Airbnb, turn it into an event space. Yeah, it's great.
And I want to relay somebody else, maybe not Phil Spencer, but there's another little company called Tencent that actually also, they also work on a leveraged approach. 1 year, they rented the closest Chinese restaurant to the Moscone Center, rented the whole place.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
And they had all of their business meetings there. You had all you can eat buffet.
Yeah.
You load up a plate and then you go sit down with the head of business development for Europe. In a little booth, there's goldfish swimming around in the background.
Brilliant.
And, you know, and they were like, we need this much space. Are we going to rent this from the conference hall? Screw that. Let's just get something authentic. So I'm not saying go rent the closest Chinese place, but there might be a bunch of other places that might be absolutely ready to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Give you a rate. Stuff. So think outside the box.
Love that.
Ask and you shall receive. What else?
So how do you, so we've been talking a lot about, you have meetings here, you have meetings there, you do this for your meetings. How do you get meetings? Especially if you don't buy the conference pass, like we're telling you not to do. So if you're starting out, even if you're not starting out, right? I do this every year. Yep. Buy meet to match, right? Buy meet to match. So if you're in the kind
what of-
what is meet to match? So- You know, you and me at this point have big Rolodexes full of contacts, and we're just going to email loads of people and say, hey, do you want to meet at GDC? And we'll get some inbound stuff, whatever. We didn't have that at the beginning of our careers, did we? Meet to Match is a meeting, business meeting matchmaking software. They are officially partnered with some events. They're not officially partnered with some other events like GDC. So Meet to Match sell Meet to Match the San Francisco edition. And the dates where Meet to Match San Francisco edition happens just happen to coincide perfectly with the dates of GDC in San Francisco. So you sign up for Meet to Match, and it's basically like dating software, or what I imagine dating software is like.
It's Tinder.
Yeah, I've been married for a long time. You put your name and what you are. You know, I'm a publisher, or I'm an artist, or I'm a PR agency. And what are you looking for, right? You're looking for developers, or you're looking for publishers, or you're looking for co-dev studios, reporting, right? You put all that stuff in there, and it matches you up. And people can go in. If you sign up for Meet to Match early, people will, people will sign up over the course of the next few weeks, and they'll start searching for whatever it is you are. So if you're a PR agency, everybody starts searching for PR agencies. They'll find you in there. You've got a beautiful, attractive headshot and a great blurb about what your company is all about. And you'll start getting inbound meeting requests, and you can use Meet to Match to set up your meetings, block out locations, block out parts of your calendar. It costs usually a couple $100. But it's a lot cheaper than a conference pass, and it's a great way if you don't have, you know, a big list of people you already know you're going out there to meet. It is a great way to fill your time up.
Yep, I 100% agree with that. Definitely, you got to start somewhere building that Rolodex.
Yep,
and you know, it's you work the friends you have, you ask for connections, but building those first connections. I think Game Connection. Meet to Match is great. Yep. Absolutely.
And look, I still do it because I still meet random interesting folks who hit me up on Meet to Match. You know, I don't leave as much space open as I used to on Meet to Match, but I leave some slots in there because it's a great way to meet new folks.
Yeah. And I can tell you, as a bigger company like Paradox, it was still worth it for us to go there because you always manage to catch some folks who were not as a part of our regular networks.
Yep.
Fantastic. What else do you have in terms of pointers? Like, do you describe to the kind of principle of having a new meeting every 30 minutes, or are you more of a like 1 hour meeting principle? Like, what's your take there? More quantity is a quality in itself.
I think it kind of depends on what less you're. Is more? I think it depends on what you're trying to do, Shams. I think if you're demoing game and you want a publisher, maybe you want to get in as many as you can. Because if your demo is...
But 30-minute pitching is terrible. You want
30-minute
like
pitching absolutely sucks, but hour-long pitching at GDC is also kind of tough. People get antsy.
Rare.
Right?
Start you've fiddling with their phones.
You've got to have all killer, no filler for a whole hour. Boy, that's tough, man. That's tough to do.
Song and dance.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. And what's your take on parties and alcohol? Again, we're 40. We've traveled 9 hours. Time difference. Are we partying in the evening?
I tend to go to a couple of dinners, and then I tend to go back to my hotel room and go to sleep. But I do go to the occasional party. I think the parties are frequently worth doing. Even when you're an old,
I think the best pointer I got was to sign up for everything and be very selective in what you attend.
Yes, that's a good
and
pointer.
To drink a lot of water. That's the point.
Drink a lot of water.
Fantastic. Any closing tips? I'm all out of tips, to be honest.
I mean, I think my last tip, and this is maybe almost a San Francisco cliche, but the weather is incredibly unpredictable. And so I remember some GDCs that are like a beautiful summer holiday. And I remember some GDCs that are like Ice Station Zebra. And you don't know which one you're going to get, really.
Ice Station Zebra, yeah.
So pack lots of light layers. Pack really comfortable shoes that you've already broken in. Don't freaking buy shoes for GDC and wear them for the first time there. Because you're going to spend a lot of time on your feet. And a lot of time hoofing around downtown San Francisco.
Yeah. A couple of other pointers. And I'll have a big one and a small one. The small one is bring breath mints.
Yes,
breath
that's
mints,
great.
Always a good thing. All day talking, very close. People you don't know. Maybe you couldn't refuse that garlic pasta lunch.
Never can.
Because you're Fernando and have to have garlic for every meal.
It's true.
But breath mints, always good. But the second thing, and it really comes back to pre-GDC. I see so many people just going to GDC without having very, very clear goals about what they want out of GDC. They're like, oh, we'll just attend. Instead of having like, I'm coming here in order to get this. And when you have that focus, it allows you to say no to meetings much more efficiently and go after the ones that matter the more. Because what you want to do is that when you're on the flight home and somebody asks you, was this worth the money? And you have to look your other co-founders or people in the company in the eye, telling them, like, you came back from this, what is it, $5,000 per head at least to go around to GDC and back. You want to be able to ideally had one meeting that not only justified the trip, it justified it times 10.
Yep.
Right? And that comes from you having a very clear focus. We're coming here to get X, Y, and Z. And if that doesn't happen, we want three backup options. And then you plan out everything from there. Because at least I can tell you on the buying side, you get inundated with so much bullshit. And there's, you know, always value in some networking. Mm-hmm. But you're there to produce something for your business and having that singular focus. Like, if you're able to go to GDC and have one meeting and go back, what would that meeting be? And try to think in those terms.
Yeah.
And then you multiply that by 16. And then you have 16 killer end-all meetings, and that's it. So that's my pointer, and I see the biggest mistake people make.
No, that is a great one, right? Have a focus. Have an idea of what you're trying to get out of it. I think just because you and me have been on the publishing side seeing pitches so much, one of the things that I'd say to devs who are bringing pitches is include in your invite some stuff for the person to look at. because I got to a point, well, pretty quickly, really. I would just do a flat no to somebody who sent me a pure text pitch with no link to a YouTube video or a deck or anything. And I would I would get a lot of those, right? There's a lot of people who are just like, oh, hey.
No. Are you kidding
me? Yeah. Here's
the thing. Really thought you were I thought you were alluding to something else. I was like, surely he's not talking about a text dump pitch.
Text dump pitches, they happen. Have stuff for people to look at. And I'd say from the other side of it, kind of to piggyback on what you were saying, Shams, be ruthless about saying no to meetings, right?
Yeah.
Because your time should be pretty valuable over there. And your time will fill up faster than you expect it to if it's your first time going.
Yeah. Yeah. You let's round this off with a couple of pet peeves. Do you have any GDC or trade show pet peeves that you don't want to see people do as a final pointer? I have one, and that's why I'm asking the question.
I mean, I think my real pet peeve is, please, can we stop having GDC in San Francisco?
It's nuts.
It's nuts. It's such a terrible advertisement for the United States. There are much better cities in the United States than San Francisco.
Boulder, Colorado.
Boulder. Okay. Boulder's very nice, actually. But what's your tip, Chips? Or your pet peeve?
Okay, so what I don't want to see, and ask, like, many of you are guilty of these, but I want you to stop doing this. I see this. People from Stockholm travel all the way to San Francisco. And then I'm walking down the streets of San Francisco and I see people, Swedes from different companies, sitting, having a beer together in San Francisco. And there's nobody else around. So there's just two bunch of Swedes from two different Swedish companies having beers in San Francisco. This is a waste of company resources, and you're doing everyone else a freaking disfavor. I barely want to meet Fernando, and he lives like a 2-hour flight away. We meet him all the time.
It is a 2-hour flight, though.
It is a 2-hour flight. But, you know, so Swedes, stay away from me at GDC unless you're Swedish but happen to live somewhere else in the world. In that case, it's fine.
That's it.
So avoid that. The opportunity cost of meeting with friends from back home is way too high. You can meet people in Stockholm at any time. So
good tip.
That's it, and that's the final word. Okay, Fernando, I think that is. We might do a Gamescom version of this. Do like a which Currywurst is the best or worst?
I have even more opinions about Gamescom, if that's possible.
Okay,
but I love
Gamescom is more fun. Gamescom is 100% fun, and it is not waterboarding. I can tell you.
No, GDC is No, Gamescom is great. But look, GDC really is, I think, worthwhile for a lot of folks. And I hope I hope our tips have helped somebody.
Hopefully. Okay. With that, thank you everyone for listening, spreading the word about the podcast. Thank you, Fernando and Ali Hebson, for starting Caboodle and hopefully helping developers maintain a long tail so they can pay the bills for many a game to come. And as always, thank our patrons, our wonderful editor Aaron, for making the sound great. And until next time, adios, muchachos.